Good morning and welcome to our worship on this Christ the King Sunday. This broadcast is coming to you from Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our recording team consists tonight of Brenda Albright, Assisting Minister, Jane Warren, Lector, Chelsea Larson, our cantor, Megan McCoy, our music director, Stuart Taylor, organist, and Kevin Boatwright, our sound engineer. This is the last Sunday in our long Pentecost season, and next week we begin our careful and methodical trek to Christmas with the first Sunday in Advent. We join now in confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. We keep silence for personal prayer and reflection. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering hymn is Evangelical Lutheran Worship 855, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join now in the Glory to God, Evangelical Lutheran Worship, page 139. Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world that you have made, all through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning with the 11th verse. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are the people of God's word.
The second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 15th verse. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, who are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We join now in the gospel acclamation, ELW 142. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. How do we declare Christ the King on this Sunday in 2020 In Lawrence, Kansas, in the midst of a pandemic where fear and illness seems to wash over us like ocean waves. What do we do in the midst of a divided nation that seems to want to tear itself apart, pitting one group, one race, one social and economic group against another? There are lots of words from Scripture, but perhaps none more profound than Matthew 25 and the parable of the sheep and the goats. Perhaps, as Libby Howe in her discussion of our gospel this week in the Christian Century advises, we don't need Christ as a king, but we need Christ to decenter our lives, opening us up to the reality that we are not the center of life in our culture, but we need to open ourselves up to the reality and wonder of others. She says, Matthew 25 calls humanity to an ethic of decentering ourselves in the interest of meeting those in need with relief, compassion, comfort, and dignity. In simple terms, it's not always about us. And Matthew writes, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. I'd like to share another word with you from a very unlikely source, George Carlin. He wrote these words not long after his wife died. He writes, the paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet problems, more problems rather, more medicine but less wellness. We are a divided people in the midst of a paradox, in the midst of too much and not enough. We have the kingdom in the midst of us. We have abundant life and abundant ways in which we can live. In the midst of the pandemic, there is still abundant life. How do we make this not about us, but about all people? Jesus says, then the king will say to those at his right hand, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. We live in a world that is full of opportunity to care. We live in a world that is hungry for compassion and love. And what do we do? Here's some more words from George Carlin as they reflect the words of Jesus. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get too tired, read too little, watch too much TV, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much about love, too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life and not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. And then the righteous will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Matthew 25 invites us, Jesus invites us to look around and see those for whom we need to care. Why, when we open our eyes, do we say to the Christ, when did we do all these things? And Jesus replies, remember these words, whenever we did it to us, to the people in the midst of the world, the very extended family of God, you did it to me. Some more words from George Carlin. We cleaned up the air but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom but not our prejudice. We write more but learn less. We plan more but accomplish less. We learn to rush but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, big men and small character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, fancier houses but more broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring this letter to you, and a time when you can choose either to share this insight or just hit delete. Now remember, those on the left hand, those who are accursed, they said the same thing that the righteous said. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. You see, neither the righteous nor the accursed see the world around them. We live in the greatest country in the world. More wealth, more luxury, more incredible goods than half the world can even imagine. And yet we don't see the world we are supposed to see. It is hard for us to remember that we are not the center of the universe. George Carlin, in his grief and in his life, was trying to make sense out of all the things in his world. Just like the righteous and the accursed, we don't see the world around us. This comic ends his time of reflection, his attempt to say it is not about us, with these words. Remember to spend some time with your loved ones, because they are not going to be around forever. Remember to say a kind word to someone who looks up to you in awe, because that little person soon will grow and leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you, because that is the only treasure you can give with your heart, and it doesn't cost a cent. Remember to say I love you to your partner and your loved ones, but most of all, mean it. A kiss and an embrace will mend hurt when it comes from deep inside of you. Remember to hold hands and cherish the moment, for someday that person will not be there. Give time to love, give time to speak, and give time to share the precious thoughts in your mind. And always remember, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by those moments that take our breath away. So on this Christ the King Sunday, when we talk about having every knee bowing and every heart be turned to love,
turn to love God and each other. Let us remember all of these words and make sure that we are not the center of the universe, but instead that we are the love of God for all. Amen. We continue our worship now as we sing together our hymn of the day, ELW 865, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Please join us in the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in your hymnals. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Sovereign of all, train our ears to hear your cry in the needs of those around us. Be with all of those on the front lines of caregiving. Be with doctors and nurses. Give courage and strength as they care for all those who suffer. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of wisdom and mercy, be with our government in all of its many parts as they try to care for all of our people and all of our communities in the midst of this terrifying pandemic. Give them courage to care. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Bring peace to every place where conflict rages. Grant opportunities for ending divisions among us and usher in your reign of unity and reconciliation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Heal the sinful divisions we erect between us and release us from systems of oppression and prejudice. Restore our capacity to see your image in those whose dignity we have stripped away. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Pour out the gifts of your Spirit on children and youth throughout the church. Sustain those who work in children's ministry, youth ministry, and campus ministry as they nurture the gifts of young people. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Thank you for saints now departed who fed the hungry, clothed the naked, and tended to the sick. Inspire us by their example that we may see your presence in those in need around us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, until that day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever. Amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we exchange God's peace with one another. And as we do that, I would ask you to wish for the peace of God, which truly passes our understanding, for all of those people in your life, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, for all of those who are suffering from COVID-19, for all of those people who are suffering because they have no work and they struggle to put food on the table. So keep them in mind as you say those words. And now the peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. At this point in our liturgy, we celebrate the offering if we were in person. And a moment to just say thank you to everyone who has contributed so generously to Trinity Lutheran Church, as they've been just having the radio broadcast and no in-person worship. Your generous gifts have been greatly appreciated, and we give thanks for you and for all that you do for this church as you continue to empower the ministries of Trinity. And now we join together in ELW 838, Beautiful Savior.
Beautiful Savior.
continue our worship now with the Great Thanksgiving and our communion liturgy. And I would invite you to find some bread, some wine, or some grape juice. For a little later on in our worship, we will say the words, take and eat, and take and drink, as we share the real presence of our Lord and Savior in communion. Now we join in the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us thus far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. And so now, with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, when the meal was finished, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And now, because of this, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, we are bold to partake of these gifts, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This bread and this wine are the gifts of God for God's people, and we remember that all are welcome at our table. We join together now in singing Lamb of God on page 146. We join together in our communion hymn from Evangelical Lutheran Worship 502, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Now, if you have your bread and your wine, we will prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. So take and eat and share with each other the bread or with yourself. Take and eat the body of Christ. And now the cup, take and drink the blood of Christ. And as we've partaken of these things, let us remember once again the gift of this supper and words that were written long ago. O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire, transform us with hope. O God, most majestic, O God, most motherly, O God, our strength and our song, you show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in us now in this bread and wine, now and forever. Amen.
Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey, strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children, and give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen.
The benediction. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give each of us reason to rejoice and be glad. And now may the blessing of God, sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, be with each of us today and always. Now we join together in our sending hymn, Jesus Shall Reign.
Beloved of God, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.